Lecture 4, Akhenaten, Heretic Pharaoh.
Welcome back. Remember last time we were talking about Hatshepsut, the queen who declared herself king and ruled as pharaoh? And because of that, she was erased from all the records. Egypt just didn't want it known that there was a woman who ruled as king. Well, this lecture, we're going to talk about another pharaoh who was erased from the official records. He's the most controversial of all Egyptian pharaohs, and his name is Akhenaten. Now, let me bridge the gap between Hatshepsut and Akhenaten. It's an easy one, because they're in the same dynasty. After Hatshepsut, her nephew, Thutmose III, did take the throne, and he was a great pharaoh. He was a military man, led the army north, conquered lands, and Egypt was on a roll. After him, other great pharaohs. And the 18th dynasty is, in a sense, the high point of Egypt. It's when Egypt is at its wealthiest. Egypt is really rolling along. And then we come to Akhenaten, and everything changes. What I want to do with Akhenaten is show you how, when you try to change the three pillars of Egyptian civilization, everything goes wrong. Those three pillars are religion, the pharaoh, and the military. They are all intertwined. And Akhenaten tried to change them all and almost destroyed Egypt. First, let me explain how they're intertwined. First, the military. It's sort of the easiest way to do it. In ancient Egypt, peace was not something to be desired. We think of it as strange that, you know, nobody ever wanted peace in ancient Egypt. The idea was that Egypt was supposed to be on top. There was a notion of divine order. Everything had its place, and the right place was for Egypt on top of the Middle East. So what the Egyptians would do periodically was they would take the army, this wonderful standing army that they could support because they had all that food, and they would march north. And they would conquer any territory they wanted. They would go into Canaan. They would go into Syria. They would go south into Nubia. They would conquer and bring back anything that wasn't nailed down. It was their right. So no pharaoh ever ran on the platform of "there was peace in my time." No way. So the military was not just a way of defending yourself. For Egypt, it was an economy. It was a way of bringing wealth into the country. So the military was important. Now, how does religion work into this triad of military, religion, and the pharaoh? Well, when the pharaoh came back, victorious as always, he felt that the gods had been good to him. So he would donate a portion of the spoils to the temples of Egypt. So the temples were really supported by military exploits. And the temples were also pro-war. They were doing just fine. As a matter of fact, when Napoleon Bonaparte went to Egypt, 1798, his men looked at the Egyptian temples for the first time. And on the walls of the temple, they saw battle scenes. They saw the pharaoh in the smiting position, ready to kill his enemy. They couldn't believe that this would be a temple showing warfare and killing. So they called them all palaces. And if you read Napoleon Savant's publications, they always called these temples palaces because they figured no temple would ever show anybody being killed. But they didn't realize religion was all for war. They were being supported. Another way that the temple was supported was that the pharaoh would give the temple land when they came back. So they had servants from the wars, they had money from the wars. So religion and the military went hand in hand. Third part of the triad, paying attention, it's the pharaoh, right? Now, the pharaoh was literally the physical leader of Egypt. He was not like, say, a prime minister or a president. He was not a political figurehead who made decisions. He was supposed to literally lead the army in battle. He was the physical leader also.